Hey there, welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for stopping by. Why don't you make yourself at home? We're going to hang out here together for the next 30 minutes. This week, we're going to be looking at the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. You know, we're in a kind of a cool period in the liturgical or the church year right now. Technically speaking, we're in ordinary time. The Easter season concluded last week with the Solemnity of Pentecost or Pentecost Sunday, but we have a stretch, and we're right in the middle of that stretch right now, of major solemnities taking place on Sundays. Last Sunday, Solemnity of Pentecost. This Sunday, Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. And next Sunday, we will celebrate the Solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Jesus Christ, commonly referred to as Corpus Christi. So, ordinary time, but man, we are going out with a bang. We're the Easter season has concluded, but we're still going strong with these really big solemnities. So today we're going to focus on the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we focus on Jesus. We put our focus on Him, which is a good thing because we can't come to the Father without Jesus, without going through Jesus. But we don't want to lose sight of the fact that the Trinity, or God, has three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So today, by looking at the readings from this weekend's Mass, Sunday Mass, we're going to focus on all three persons of the Trinity. I'm so glad you're able to stop by. What we're going to do now is we are going to start the program as we do every week with prayer. So let's speak to our Father in Heaven right now and begin in the name of the Trinity. Ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello, Father in Heaven. It is so good to be with you. It's so good to be able to have this conversation with you. Father, we realize that when we pray to you, we are also praying to the Son, your Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as well. All three persons of the Trinity are involved. Whenever we go to any one person such as you, we know we're also in the presence of your Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be focusing on that today, Father. And we could use your help. We could use your inspiration. I'm going to ask you to guide my thoughts and my words today so that I can adequately deliver the message that you would like me to deliver. When it comes to the Trinity, Father, I get a little overwhelmed sometimes. It's a difficult concept for me, for my human brain to understand. So I'm going to need help delivering this message, Father. And I pray that in addition to giving me the words, to sending your Holy Spirit to guide me, to give me the words, I pray that you can open up all of our hearts so that when we hear these readings, when we hear your words as spoken through sacred scripture, we get a better understanding of the power of the Trinity and a greater appreciation and desire to get to know you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So, Father, in addition to this, I lift up all of our intentions, all the people we've been asked to pray for, all the people we've promised to pray for, maybe we've forgotten about. We pray for the country, the world. We pray for the church. We pray for all the souls in purgatory. We pray for those who don't know you, who maybe don't even know it's possible to have a relationship with you. We pray for all who are grieving, those who are lonely, those who are discouraged or hopeless, maybe even suicidal. We pray for healing for the sick. Father, we lift up all these intentions. We bundle them up. We hand them over to you. And we ask for these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and who is our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. I always like these chances I get to talk about the Trinity. And again, as I said in the prayer, I'm not kidding about that. It's a tough concept for our human brains to wrap ourselves around. The fact that God is three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all equal. Sometimes we get the idea, and you know, it's a common practice to look at the Father as the head. He's the head honcho, and the Son is beneath him, and then the Holy Spirit ranks third. But that's really not the way it is. They are all equal. But even more importantly, we have to remember that they are three distinct persons. So we can have, and we are called to have, a personal relationship with the Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit, all three of them. And sometimes, if you're at all like me, sometimes you get a little confused about, well, who should I be praying to? Well, you really want to make sure you're talking to each member of the Trinity. And of course, don't forget about the saints. You'll be speaking to them as well. They're not divine, but they are our heavenly friends. And the church encourages us to speak to especially the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph and all the saints and our guardian angels. You know, prayer shouldn't just be directed to one person. You don't want to forget about all persons of the Trinity, especially. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But listen, don't let it drive you crazy. If you're like me, it can play with your brain sometimes. You think, okay, let me even it out. Let me make sure I'm praying equally to each person of the Trinity. You don't want to start getting like that. You don't want to get overly scrupulous like that. But at the same time, you don't want to forget that you are called to a personal relationship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit as well. So anyway, hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for stopping by. It's always great when I get to spend a few minutes with you on this program. Grateful for the fact that you tuned in. I'm grateful for the fact that I know you're praying for me, and I'm grateful for the fact that you show up to listen to the program, that you're praying for me. And if you've donated to my ministry, I'm very, very, very thankful. I want to make sure that that you know that I don't take you for granted, and I'm very grateful. I'm also grateful to the radio stations around the country who broadcast this show over the air, as well as to the podcast services that make it available through podcast format. So however you're listening to the program, I'm so glad you're listening, and I'm glad we can spend this time together. So very quickly, before we look at the Sunday Mass readings for the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, I just want to take a minute to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. If you want to find out more information about my books, including how to pre-order my upcoming book, it's going to be out for Advent. It's going to come out technically in August, but you can pre-order it now. It's called Find Peace in Advent. It's a daily devotional to be used for the Advent season. If you've liked Give Up Worry for Lent, well, look at this book as a Give Up Worry for Lent, except that it's for Advent. The other thing I want to let you know is I am currently booking parish missions, Give Up Worry for Lent parish missions for next year, for Lent of next year, 2025. But, and I announced this on Facebook a few weeks ago, I am offering, this is going to be for a limited time, and it's an attempt to fill up some open dates for local parishes. That means parishes, I'm based out of southern New Jersey, so South Jersey and the Philadelphia area and suburbs. I'm offering either one of two parish missions, either a two-day Find Peace in Advent parish mission, or a three-day Stop Worrying and Start Living parish mission. For the present time, again, local parishes only, local to me, South Jersey, Philadelphia area, and the suburbs, for no fee. I'm offering it for no fee, and if you are interested in bringing me to your parish, please contact me as soon as possible, because I know these dates are limited. I can only do so many. At Gary@followingthetruth.com. That's GARY@followingthetruth.com. And let's get something set up so I can come to your parish. If you have any questions, you can always email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, let's get right on with the program. I'm going to take a sip of my water and let's start doing these Mass readings. As I always do, I'm going to start with the Gospel first, because the Gospel, according to the Church, has a place of prominence. The Gospel leads the way, and the other readings are chosen to support the Gospel. So we're going to do things in reverse order, if you want to call it that. But this is the way I like to do it on the program, and I think it's a unique approach. I don't see it done this way elsewhere, but I think it really gives us an idea, which is my goal, of how these readings fit together, and to enable us to look for the common theme. So the Gospel today is kind of a short one. It's only four verses. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And this is, these are really Jesus, the parting words of Jesus to his apostles as he's preparing to ascend into heaven. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." Now, although this is a short gospel, there's a lot in here. One fact that just really jumps out at me when I read this is that the apostles doubted. They still doubted. They weren't quite sure yet. And, you know, that's something you and I struggle with on a regular basis. We doubt at times to one degree or another. Is God really here? Is he really going to give me what I need to be able to accomplish what he wants me to do? Am I going to get through this illness? I'm having financial problems. How am I going to do it? I'm praying. I don't see any response. And, you know, it might not be a doubt, but it kind of be maybe a little uncertainty. Or being uncomfortable, like, well, I'm not feeling the Lord. I just hope he's there. So they doubted. What happened when they doubted? Jesus didn't desert them. He came to them. And he said, "Listen, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." And this is what you and I, according to the church, we are all called to this too. This invitation, this command, really, is extended to each one of us. All disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, all Christians are commanded by the church and ultimately by Jesus himself to go out and make disciples, to draw other people closer to Jesus. We can do that in a number of different ways, by our words, by our actions. Every one of us is going to be called really in a different way. The overall call is the same, but different circumstances, different states in life, different gifts. Some people are not good at proclaiming the gospel using words. Some people aren't good at doing it in writing. Some people are good at doing it through actions. You know, we're all created a little bit differently. But the Lord expects us to do it in the way we can, to ultimately to do what? To lead people, if they haven't been so, if they haven't experienced this, to be baptized. And specifically to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You see that Trinitarian formula to baptism. And then Jesus said, okay, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm going to be with you until the end of the age. That's the promise, that we're not going at this alone. The Lord is with us. But he expects us to do something. You know, he's going to comfort us, as St. Paul says. But he expects us to comfort others in the way that we are comforted. Essentially lead people to God and a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the importance of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. As a Catholic, I believe, according to the church teaches that all baptisms, all Christian baptisms, when someone is baptized, using that Trinitarian formula, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, they are all valid. So even if we're dealing with somebody from a Christian denomination, a non-Catholic Christian denomination, if they were baptized using that formula, we consider them to be a member of the church, a separated member of the church, but a member of the church nonetheless. So that baptism is important. I would say today, give thanks for your baptism. That's not the main message of these readings, but it's something to really think about. When we're baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit for the first time, and we are transformed, we become a new creation. Even though it doesn't look like it, we become a member of the church and also a son or a daughter of the Father. We become adopted by the Father on the day of our baptism, become a member of the church. We become incorporated into Jesus Christ. And what do? We share in this life, this Trinitarian life, the life of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's really a big deal. And that's why I'm so glad that we have this opportunity to focus on the Trinity today. So let's, with that in mind, let's look at the first reading. Now, this one gets a little bit trickier because when we look at the surface level, this book, this first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, and we're only going to see God references. So we got to dig a little to find references to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus as well. So let's see what we can do with that. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 32. Moses said to the people, "Ask now of the days of old, before your time, ever since God created man upon the earth. Ask from one end of the sky to the other. Did anything so great ever happen before? Was it ever heard of? Did a people ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire as you did and live? Or did any God venture to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation by testings, by signs and wonders, by war, with strong hand and outstretched arm, and by great terrors, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? This is why you must now know and fix in your heart that the Lord is God in the heavens above and on earth below, and there is no other. You must keep his statutes and commandments that I enjoin on you today, that you and your children after you may prosper, and that you may have long life on the land which the Lord your God is giving you forever." Now, when we look at this reading, I see references to the Word, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus. When Moses, in his speech to the people, did anyone ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire? The voice of God, the Word, the second person of the Trinity, and the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. So Jesus came into our world to teach us about the Father, and of course to redeem us so that we could one day live with him forever in heaven. And the reference to the Holy Spirit I see in here is, well, God speaking from the midst of fire, oftentimes the Holy Spirit is referred to in the image of fire. So we see a hidden reference to the Holy Spirit. And the other one that got me is that the teachings, like I can't find it right here. Oh, you must keep the statutes and commandments that I enjoin on you today. His statutes and commandments, the teachings of God, God's teachings. How do they come to us? Of course, by Jesus, but even more importantly, through his church, because Jesus founded a church and he has given that church the power to teach authoritatively in his name. How does that happen? It comes about by the working of the Holy Spirit in the church, right? So you see that reference to the, and again, it's a veiled reference to the Holy Spirit, but there's that reference to the Holy Spirit. So if we look close, and you know, and you look at that reading on its own, you're not going to necessarily see a reference to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. But when you look at it in the context of today's celebration of the Most Holy Trinity, and you look at that gospel and the reference to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you start to see that reference to the Trinity. That's why I like to look at these readings as a whole. I always pray about it before I start, and I try to find that common theme for all of the readings, because the church chose these readings for this day for a reason. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 33, "Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full. By the word of the Lord," see that reference to the Word, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, "by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their host." The breath, right? Sound familiar? That the wind, the breath, the Holy Spirit. We see another reference to the Holy Spirit. "For he spoke and it was made. He commanded and it stood forth. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. How are we delivered from the ultimate death? By Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead for us. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Now, one thing I do want to point out is when you look at the Old Testament, you got to do some digging, but you're not going to see overt references necessarily to the Holy Spirit. And even in the beginning to Jesus, I mean, they're there, but you got to do some digging because of the fact that we have to consider the people, the chosen people at the time that God was speaking to. They were used to worshiping pagan gods, false gods. They were into idol worship. And God has revealed himself over the years gradually to his people. So it's been a gradual process. They weren't ready for the full revelation of the Trinity at that point in time. So that's why when we look back at these readings, we have to remember, we're looking at readings and events that took place a few thousand years before the birth of Jesus. These people had to be brought along gradually. And it's important to keep that in mind. You know, when we read the scriptures, the church teaches that we should read them as a whole. You don't just pull things out of the Old Testament or even out of the New Testament without considering what was written in the Old Testament. It all fits together, written over the course of thousands of years, though. But we have to kind of put our church goggles on when we look at Scripture, and sort of view Scripture through the eyes of church teaching. The church helps us to understand how all of these readings fit, and part of it happens as we see today by applying certain readings or choosing certain readings for a particular celebration. So today we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. The church chose that reading from the Old Testament and that responsorial psalm and this second reading in the gospel to help us better understand and appreciate the Trinity. And, you know, you almost sometimes, I think, have to work backwards and say, okay, Trinity Sunday, what's the deal? What's the lesson that I am supposed to learn from this? How can I see elements of the Trinity in each of these readings? That's what I do. And, you know, I pray about it before I start the show. And it's always a good idea to pray before you read Scripture. And you'd be surprised what you come up with when you do that. So let's go on to the second reading now. St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Now, see if you can pick out Trinitarian references here. Brothers and sisters, those who are led by the Spirit of God, all right, see, that's the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, are sons of God. And that reference to God the Father. So we are sons and daughters of God the Father, led by his Holy Spirit. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption, through whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If only we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. There's your reference to Jesus. So we see the reference to the Father, to Jesus, and to the Holy Spirit. It's short and sweet, three verses, and we get that better appreciation and understanding. And remember, it's going to be somewhat limited in terms of fully understanding what happens through the inner working of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and outwardly how it affects the church and each one of us individually. You're never going to fully understand it, but we get a glimpse of it. And, you know, all three persons of the Trinity, even though they are all equal, they're all divine, they're all God, they have different roles. Generally, and this is me, you know, I don't want to pigeonhole the persons of the Trinity and kind of like restrict your thinking about them. But this is, you know, based on what the church teaches and what I've been able to come up with, I view the Father as a provider. Jesus told me to ask the Father for what I need, generally what I do. I view Jesus as my Savior who came into the world to redeem me, to walk with me, to save me from my sins, to lead me to the Father. And I turn to Jesus throughout the day. I ask the Father at the beginning of the day for what I need when I pray. You know, I pray for basically the intent of the Our Father is to turn to the Father and ask for what we need. And then I walk with Jesus throughout the day. And I also ask the Holy Spirit to help me, to inspire my words, my thoughts, my actions, so that I can go out and be Jesus to those around me. So, you know, it's their roles overlap at time, but I think it helps to envision some specifics. And yeah, you do have some flexibility with that in terms of what works for you, but I recommend you think about some specifics so that you get used to speaking to the Father about something, to Jesus about something, to the Holy Spirit about something. And what that does is it keeps you in touch with each person of the Trinity, and it helps you to build a relationship with them. So I hope in some way my words today helped you to grow closer to the Trinity. Keep praying about it. You know, just keep in touch with each person of the Trinity, and you're going to find you will have a closer relationship. It does take a little time, but it's something that can grow. I want to thank you for tuning into the show. It always means so much to me. I get sad at the end of the program, but I look forward, God willing, to being with you next week as we focus on the Mass readings for the Body and Blood of Jesus Christ, Solemnity of Corpus Christi, another great feast of the Church. As always, if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is the best way to get in touch with me. And you know that I'm praying for you, right? I tell you that every week, and I really mean it. I pray for you every day. And I ask you in your kindness to pray for me and to pray for my family so that I can continue to do God's will, whatever that may be, whatever he wants me to do. And if you don't mind sending making a donation to my full-time ministry, I would greatly appreciate that as well. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go for that. So until we meet again, just keep in touch with the Trinity, okay? And appreciate the fact that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have a fantastic week. Thanks again. God bless you.